going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Coverage all day here on the Team 980, leading up to Linnell and Toby's draft show from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. Craig's going to take his show all the way up until 8 o'clock. Chris is on after me, and both of those gentlemen join me right now. It is one of those days where it's just interesting to see what everybody's thinking on draft day. It's different, guys, from it was a year ago when we pretty much knew at this point who it was going to be, which actually is where I'll start. Don't you think that this draft, given that they're taking the latest they've ever taken with their own pick ever in franchise history, because the last time they were this good, there were only 28 teams in the league. But don't you think in preparation for your shows to be able to talk draft even somewhat fluently, it is just so much deeper and more difficult because there are so many possibilities? Craig, you go first.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been way, way more difficult. Last year, I mean, really, we knew pretty early Jaden was probably the pick, but you just had to be prepared on Drake May, you know, J.J. McCarthy. You know, is there maybe one or two other guys that could come into it? Sure, but it was basically if you had a good file on those people, you were set. This year, I keep seeing new names. Now, like, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, let me go look at Jahdae Barron a little bit more, because in his mock draft last night, Daniel Jeremiah's got Jahdae Barron falling all the way down.
Oh, really?
To 29.
Jeremiah had him?
Yeah.
Because that was my pick.
Yeah, like, I could see that. I'm trying to think of some of the other guys that, like, this week, you know, Omarion Hampton, like, could he be available? So there's kind of the non positions that we've talked about, also different guys at the edge spot. Like, I got to know 7 different edges because all of them could be available. And it's not just Washington picking the slate. It is the contour of this draft class, and it's made it very difficult, but also very fun in its own way.
Yeah, Chris.
Yeah, I think you know the hardest part for me, just me. Well, I think we all identify edge pass rusher as probably the top need, right? I think that's pretty commonly known. But what isn't known is, A, how much of a desire they have to trade back. B, is there going to be a pool of 3 or 4 of those 7 or 8 candidates that Hoffman was just talking about that are there so that it makes sense to trade back? Or do you feel like, okay, I've got to go now because a guy might not be there if, say, I drop, I don't know, 33, 34, or even 40 with New Orleans, which is a scenario that I floated the other day on the show. So I think that has made it hard for me. And then in addition to that, okay, do they decide to go running back? Do they decide to go cornerback? Do they go wide receiver? Do they go interior offensive line, which I got to be honest with you guys, I haven't spent a lot of time studying or thinking about, but now all of a sudden you're starting to hear the kid from North Dakota State and a couple of others that everybody's high on and certainly could very much be in as part of that 29 mix.
Yeah, there's so many possibilities. Let me ask both of you, what player, if that player were to drop, and I'm not talking about Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter or any of the players that are clearly at the top of this draft, but who would they not pass on? What would be their dream situation tonight with a player dropping to 29 if that's where they pick?
I mean, I'll go first here. I personally, I mean, the one that jumps out for me is Ashton Chetty, but I don't think that's going to happen.
You discount the players that are clearly going to be gone.
Right. So I would say for me, I believe if Will Johnson from Michigan is still there, I think they have a hard time passing up. But as Craig just mentioned, Jahdae Barrett from Texas, he did fall in Jeremiah's mock draft, and I was curious about that because I've seen a lot of top 10 selections about him. I mean, if they feel the same way, obviously, and they have a top 15 grade, how do you turn that down at a need position still for the future and somebody that can help you now, and if you had a top 15 grade? There's no way. And then it becomes even more complicated because, again, if, say, that scenario happens and you have a top 15 grade on a guy and he's there at 29, do you trade down because that's the prudent thing to do, or do you just say, you know what, we can't resist the value?
I think at that point you say you can't resist the value. The thing is, though, like, you can name any player in this draft, and I would say even including Carter, Hunter, Genty, I can give you a reason why it's a bad idea. Like, that is this class. This class has five or six guys where that weaknesses list is very, very small. And obviously Carter, Genty, et cetera, it's pretty small there. But I could tell you why Malachi Starks is a great idea. I could tell you why it's a bad idea. Jahdae Barron. Like, you pick your guy, Matthew Golden. I talked to someone within the last week that's like, when I saw him during the year, I thought he was a third, fourth round guy. You have other people that think he's the best receiver in this class. The valuations are so different that I could tell you certainly Will Johnson was the first name that came to mind for me as well. And I do think he could be available, which a week ago I would have told you you're on crazy pills. But I do think that there's the foot. I think there's some other stuff he didn't test at all. And to say other stuff, I think other injury stuff that concerns people. But at 29, like, what are you waiting for? Like, go do that. Shamar Stewart, Donovan Ezra, like, you name a guy, I can tell you why it's a great idea. I can tell you why it's a bad idea, which is kind of a cop-out answer, Kevin, but it is the truth about this draft class.
Yeah, the Will Johnson thing, if he's available, there are a couple of guys that, I'm sorry, but if they're available at 29, there is something drastically wrong. With him, it would be the injuries, clearly, that there's something, you know, of major concern. I think, like, you know, a Pierce or a Green, if Green were to fall to 29, then the due diligence has unveiled something about him that Washington would likely pass on to. That's just my guess. Because you're right. This draft, I would say 5 through 60, there are, you know, pluses and minuses, and everybody's got a different opinion on. I don't know if people have, at this point, a different opinion on the top two or three guys or four guys. I think Genty's in that group. But anyway, what would surprise you, Craig, you first? What would shock you if they stayed at 29 and took this player?
A quarterback? Like, outside of that, I don't have an answer. Yeah, kicker, punter, we can throw those in too. Like, it's hard, man, because I've done like 8 or 9 mocks at this point. We got another one in the 4 o'clock hour today on our show. And I've just seen too many things fall. I would say I would be kind of surprised if there's a tackle at 29, because I think that either, like, Josh Simmons' injury stuff is bad enough that you don't want him and he's available, or the good ones are going to go. I've heard Kelvin Banks, I mean, now this is out there, like, he could go as high as 6. And I've talked to people who think, like, that's deserving. I've talked to people that think he's in the teens. I've talked to people that think he's a guard and belongs in the 20s. But I think tackle would surprise me at 29, because I just don't see how the best player on their board at 29 is a tackle worth taking. That I would say that. And by the way, I think as much as a lot of people think that Brandon Coleman should be a guard, they've said he's a tackle, and I think we should believe them.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
By the way, Banks is another name. Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Sorry, Kev. No, I didn't mean to talk over. I'll go in general offensive line. I mentioned the guards earlier, and I agree with what Craig just said. I'll just give you one different that for me, I don't know if I would love, and it would kind of surprise me if he went this early, is Trevion Henderson. I understand what kind of breakaway speed he has. I understand they don't have that profile. I don't know, and Kevin and Craig, you would know better than me, I don't know if I see him as even a 15 to 18 carry type of guy, and I need somebody, me, moving forward beyond just not only this year, but with all four running backs being on the final year of each one of their deals, and certainly the top two having, I would say, significant injury concerns. I need somebody that can carry the ball more regularly than just being a third down and spot first and second down type guy, which is how I kind of view Trevion Henderson. That's not to say he can't play on first and second down. I just don't know if he's the bell cow, if you will. And I understand you don't want 3 yards in a cloud of dust bell cow anymore. I get it. But you guys know what I mean. Can he be asked to have the breakaway speed, the explosiveness, the pass catching ability, pass pro, and also carry the ball, say, 15 to 17 times with a bunch of those carries coming between the tackles?
Pass pro, yes, and everything else, yes. But I agree with you. I don't think he's a 20-plus carry a back game. What do you think, Craig?
Yeah, I think that he is a really, really high-end version of a piece that's really, really valuable in the NFL and specifically in this offense. But do you want a part-time starter with your first-round pick? And I would say the answer is no, especially when there is incredible depth at that position in this draft. And the other part of this that we should talk about probably more is the contract value. Like, the most expensive running back in the league is now making $15 million a year.
Yeah.
The discount you get for taking a first-round running back is not that steep compared to wide receiver, edge, quarterback, etc.
Yeah, 100%. By the way, I wanted to mention one thing real quickly because you guys were talking about O-line would be a surprise. I don't think he'll be there, but I think if Tyler Booker dropped to 29, they would race up with that as their pick. And I've also heard in the last like 24 hours that Banks is is closing in as a close second if you consider him a guard. All right, so let's get to prediction time. I don't know if you guys have done this already on your show. I just did it. This is a bit of a reach to expect him to be available, but I went Jahdae Barron from Texas. I think the short arms, the height, there's a possibility that ends up being the reason he's available. And I don't think Ezeraku will be there at 29. And I think he would be the pick if he were there at 29. That's why I went Barron. You guys give me your pick and the logic behind it. Chris, you go first.
All right, so I'm stealing a little bit from what I did for Craig on a different feature, but I'm going to go if he's there, of course, and I don't know if he will because of how he did at the combine and all that. Shamar Stewart, I look at him as a high upside, higher ceiling type guy, really good against the run. I think sideline to sideline he can chase. I think backside pursuit was a strength that jumped out to me. I think he's still developing, still learning how to finish, and hopefully this coaching staff between Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. and Ryan Kerrigan and so on and so forth can figure out a way to unlock that next step, that next level. I love the athleticism, of course. We all know they love the athleticism, and I think he's a little bit underrated as a football player all around as opposed to Ezeraku, who is more of a pass rusher. So I'm going to go with Shamar Stewart.
All right, Craig?
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I agree with everything Chris Russell just said. Stewart is so underrated because people think that he's just like an athlete out there running around. It's like, no, his sack production's bad, but he does a bunch of other stuff well, which is why I think there's no shot he's going to be there the more I think about it. But if he is, I think you're right, Chris. They run to the podium and take him. And then I say there's no shot he's going to be there, so let me pick someone else. And I'm going to pick a guy that has been mocked in the top 10 for most of this process, but I think Will Johnson's going to fall. And I think they would have a really hard time looking at outside corner They know the program, obviously, with Mikey being the pick last year. His character and all that stuff is really, really high. I think he gets the Commanders tag. It's just a matter of the injury. And if he falls that far, I think you can make the argument that you go, there's a reason he's fallen this far injuries. That's a risk. But at 29, if you're getting a top 15 talent, I think you just take that risk and you do it. So I'll go Will Johnson, the corner out of Michigan, which basically until yesterday, I would have never thought was remotely a possibility for them.
But don't you think if he fell to 29, it would be all about his physical health. There'd be no other reason.
Yeah, but I think you also have to I think there's a couple factors that you have to then factor in, which is if you're a GM and a coach, you have job security. And, you know, outside of Howie Roseman, and even with Howie Roseman, the way that Lurie and the Eagles have operated sometimes, but Howie seems to be the Don there. Like, is there a coach GM combo with more job security in the NFL right now?
Wow. Like a segment. Maybe you did it, but that's crazy to say. When you just said that, I'm like, oh my God, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn have the most job security of any team in the NFL. That's probably not true. I would think Andy Reid and the Kansas City situation has a lot of security, but
I'd say they're tied. Like them, Howie would feel like there's a tier one and they're in it. And
yeah.
So
And
especially if you take into account that this is a very patient owner. And so if you take that into account and you know you have a longer leash, I think that gives you a little bit more leeway to say, like, we're okay right now with Mikey outside, Jonathan Jones inside, and seeing what Marshawn Lattimore is and if he can regain his form. So if we need to start Will Johnson on IR or we need to slow play him as a first-round pick, at 29, we don't have as many glaring needs. We're a better team, et cetera, and we have that kind of leash. We're not getting fired in week four. We're not getting fired after next season. We're not getting fired in 2 years. So you have the ability to take a risk on a high-end player in a way that a lot of other teams do not because of their situation in the front office and on the coaching staff.
Look, I'd be all in, especially if they made the pick. I would trust it that they feel good about it. But, God, I would be shocked if he's there at 29. The Shamar Stewart thing, I talked about this, I think, earlier this week. And I had forgotten the player that that had been described this way. Of course, he's like a physical freak, but I don't think he has any feel for football. He's a straight line athlete, and it finally occurred to me as you guys were talking about him, because Cooley used to say about Perry Riley that really athletic, the whole thing, but he's all, when the action's going in one direction, he's running the other way. I'm not saying Shamar Stewart is that, but I just don't think he has the feel of a football player, which is why the production hasn't been there. I know the pressures have been there, and maybe he can get coached up to that, but I think that's one of those things that's innate. You know, spatial feel, vision, athletic feel, he just doesn't have it when I've watched him. But physical
position,
freak, which is why I don't think he'll be there
at
29.
Position,
somebody will think that his athleticism is just too tantalizing to pass on.
Yeah, just quickly, Kevin, it's a traits position, though, and that is the position that if you just want a freak athlete at, and you're like, hey, man, see that guy with the ball right there? Go get him. And
yeah, maybe.
He's disruptive.
We'll see. He couldn't get him in college.
He's disruptive in the run game, too, and I think
that's
an important thing. And in a division with Jalen Hurts, you can chase Jalen Hurts, and that speed matters.
Thanks for this, guys. Appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the day. Have fun.
Thanks,
Kevin. Appreciate
Craig and Chris, everybody, all day long, all night long tonight when you add in Linnell and Toby doing draft coverage. Ben Standing next.